British stride pianist Neville Dickey celebrated his 81st birthday this year and is still going strong and is as busy as ever. Neville first played in Manhattan in 1983 at a popular piano room called Hanratty's that featured what was then called two-handed piano players, those who loved playing solo and sounded great doing it. Tommy Flanagan, Sammy Price, Ralph Sutton, Art Hodes, and many others played a week or two run in this celebrated room throughout the year. Neville and I were brought together in London last year, shortly after his 80th birthday, for an evening of stride and boogie hosted by pianist Jules Holland. I jumped at the chance to sit down the next day with Neville to talk about his long career and the musicians who have inspired him. I'm Judy Carmichael, and this is Jazz Inspired. In the 1980s and 90s, there were a number of piano rooms around the world that, like Hanratty's, featured solo pianists. Most of those rooms are gone now, along with most of the great musicians who played in them. Today's program will feature some of those people in celebration of that time, as well as the music that inspired my guest, stride pianist Neville Dickey. One of Neville's early influences was the man referred to as the father of stride piano, James P. Johnson, here playing his composition, Carolina Shout, the song all stride pianists had to learn to prove their mettle with this physically demanding style. I'm Judy Carmichael, and this is Jazz Inspired. Pizza on the Park was a famous London piano room until its closure in 2010. My guest, stride and boogie pianist Neville Dickey, worked there for years and was often paired with other jazz pianists playing on a second piano.
It was a bit of a challenge to find other piano players who would mix your style with theirs.
Yeah, it's hard.
And occasionally I had to go a little bit modern, like Brian D. Do you know Brian?
I don't. A lovely guy.
Mm-hmm. But he's a little bit on the modern side. Mm. But you have to adapt, you know. It wasn't easy sometimes. With a stride pianist like yourself, like the other night with Piece of Cake, you know.
Right.
And most of them were. But you get the odd occasion when the modernists, where you have to really listen.
You probably know those duet albums, Tommy Flanagan and Hank Jones. And they were, oh, you should hear those. And they're called Our Delights. Mm. And again, because their vocabulary was similar, they were of a similar mind, even though they played so differently, it's fantastic. In fact, a very funny line. I told Tommy when I got that album, I was so excited about it. And I said, wow, you sound like one piano player. It's just so beautifully integrated. Yeah. He said, yeah, yeah. And they said Art Tatum sounded like two.
That's true, yeah. Thank you.
Tommy Flanagan and Hank Jones on Our Delight from the recording Our Delights. I'm Judy Carmichael, and this is Jazz Inspired. I'm talking with British stride and boogie player Neville Dickey. So talk about Art Tatum. Do you remember the first time you heard Art Tatum?
I was very young and probably about 25. And it was just a mass of notes to me. I couldn't understand it. And like most of the critics at the time, they all said, it's all technical and there's no feeling there. And that's the impression I got when I first heard him. But in later years, the more I listened to the guy, he was just a one-off, a genius. And I know it's easy to say there'll never be another, but I don't think there'll ever be another Art Tatum, because the young piano players now are brought up differently. Thank you.
Judy Carmichael, and this is Jazz Inspired. One of the best known of the second generation of stride pianists was the great Ralph Sutton, who was a regular at Hanratty's in Manhattan until it closed in 1986. Here's Ralph playing "Tain't Nobody's Business If I Do." I'm Judy Carmichael, and this is Jazz Inspired. My guest is British stride pianist Neville Dickey. Well, something else that I have to ask you about, because I'm so impressed. I'm so impressed when any musician does well in selling CDs, separate from someone like Beyonce, which is a whole different thing. But you have a CD, I guess it was an album when it was starting out, that has sold over 100,000 units. You have to talk about this. I just find this amazing that this could even happen.
I signed up for, going back to my early days, when I started doing broadcasts, and my mother said to me, why don't you play that Robin's Return, which is a number I learned from my music teacher. And I said, no, I can't play that. You know, it goes back to 1914. Because I was doing daily shows on radio, it was a live program then on BBC. So I jazzed it up a bit and had bass and drums on it. And apparently the BBC switchboards were jammed after they played it on radio. All these old dears ringing up saying, where can I get this record? My mother used to play this 50 years ago. My grandmother used to play it. And I've never heard it played since. Where can I get this record? Well, I hadn't recorded it, you know. So this producer had heard it, and he said, would you like to do some recordings? And so I started off with, I was contracted to do 5 LPs. The first one was called Introducing Neville Dickey. The second one was called I Love a Piano. The third one, they said, what should we do for the third one? I said, well, ragtime is very popular. So...
was this in the 70s then?
The 70s. Yeah. 70, about 71, I think.
Yeah, that's right, when Sting came out.
Yeah. And, the Sting was popular at the time. So we did a ragtime LP. Then I did a Fats Waller tribute. And there was one to go, and the musical director said, well, what are we going to do for the last one? I said, well, what about some Boogie Woogie? He said, no. He said, that's not commercial enough. I said, well, we can make it a bit commercial. So anyway, it transpired. We did the Boogie LP. And it took off. It got played on BBC Radio for weeks and weeks. And it was sold in shops like Woolworths and various other shops for 99 pence, which was very cheap at the time. And so it eventually sold 100,000 copies. And nobody was more amazed than me.
Guest Neville Dickey from his CD Back to Boogie on Pine Top's Boogie Woogie. I'm Judy Carmichael, and this is Jazz Inspired. Thank you. I'm Judy Carmichael, and this is Jazz Inspired. Our show is made possible in part with generous support from Steinway & Sons and from East Hampton Indoor Tennis, 8 indoor and 20 outdoor courts in a quiet, beautiful park-like setting. Visit ehit.ws for more information. Additional support is provided by Jazz Times Magazine, providing entertaining and provocative coverage of the jazz scene since 1970, on the web at jazztimes.com. For a schedule of upcoming programs, visit our website at jazzinspired.com. You can listen to podcasts of Jazz Inspired on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. You can email us at info@jazzinspired.com or visit us on Facebook and Twitter at Stride Queen. To find out more about my CDs and where I'm touring, and to sign up for our email newsletter, visit judycarmichael.com. I have a new memoir called Swinger, A Jazz Girl's Adventures from Hollywood to Harlem. You can check that out at judycarmichael.com, on Amazon, or at your local bookstore. Today, my guest, British stride pianist Neville Dickey, and I are celebrating some of the great stride-influenced pianists who played Hanratty's, the first club Neville played in America. Another of the great solo pianists who played at Hanratty's in the 1980s, and who is still going strong at 91, is Dick Hyman. Like all lovers of stride piano, Dick was influenced by Fats Waller, whom he celebrates here on Fats's composition, Ain't Misbehavin'. I'm Judy Carmichael, and this is Jazz Inspired. Today we're celebrating some of the great Stride-influenced pianists who played Hanratty's, the famed piano room in Manhattan in the 1980s. One of the younger players who got his chance there early in his career was the New Orleans-based pianist Tom McDermott. Here's Tom on Fats Waller's Alligator Crawl. I'm Judy Carmichael, and this is Jazz Inspired. My guest is British stride pianist Neville Dickey. Well, were you working on the BBC? Were you a regular pianist at the BBC?
No, I was just I was on a show, the Jimmy Young Show, which was broadcast every morning. It was a consumer show where they had politicians and the daily recipe for food and all that sort of thing. And in between times, they'd play two or three numbers that I'd recorded. So I'd go up to Maida Vale and record a dozen numbers, and the next week they'd broadcast them and then repeat them a couple of weeks later. And I used to go up there sort of every couple of months, record a dozen tunes for this show. And
this sounds like a good gig.
It was.
Yeah, well, and doing stride kind of things.
Yeah. Thank you.
about the first time coming to America. Did you like it?
Yes, it was a bit quite an experience because I don't know if you know Dave Jason, the pianist over there.
I know who it is.
And he heard some of my recordings. In fact, the first LP I ever made, he was on one side and I was on the other. And he said, I'm going to arrange a concert on Long Island. Would you like to do it? And I said, well, yeah, I'd love to. Never been to America before. So he got Dick Hyman, Dick Wellstead, Bob Seeley. And about 3 weeks before, Dave phoned me and he said, we may have to cancel. I said, God, what? I bought my plane ticket. He said, well, we haven't sold any tickets.
Oh, no.
He said, we've sold about 12. And I said, it was going to be called From Rags to Riches.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, we're going to get an article in the New York Times and John Wilson's going to write it. So I'm hoping that that will help sell it. And you know what, he rang me a week before the gig and he said, the place is sold out. John Wilson had given it a 2-page write-up in the New York Times. And you talk about the power of media. I mean, that just proved it. He sold the place for us.
Oh, yeah. And God bless John Wilson. John was the critic for the New York Times and changed my career because he came in my first night at Hanratty's, which was Tuesday when I opened, and he said, why haven't they had you before? And I said, well, they didn't think I'd get any press because I was so much younger. I was 30 years younger than the next person's age, you know, to me. So I, and the only woman, it was the whole thing. I was this young girl from California. And he got this smile on his face. He said, we'll see about that. And he wrote a review that came out Wednesday and then gave me a half-page feature in the Friday on the cover of the art section. Mm. Changed my life.
Yeah.
I mean, it was packed around the corner. You know, people lined up. Mm. I went on at that. I mean, on every level, it changed my life. I became a thing. Who becomes a thing when you're a stride piano player?
Thank you.
George sharing from his early years as a stride pianist on Rosetta. I'm Judy Carmichael, and this is Jazz Inspired. I'm talking with Sharing's fellow Brit, stride pianist Neville Dickey.
One of the things that so delighted me on this trip, being here, Neville, is getting to spend this time with you and having the night with Jules, and you and I have had some great emails going back and forth, and all the things, after all these years, getting to connect, and I feel now we are going to connect because we're going to do some concerts together. But I was particularly impressed the other night seeing you, that little performance that we keep referring to with Jules Holland. Your energy on stage is so positive, and you did introduce the tune to the audience, but you give out a very positive feeling, which I know you think is very important for the audience. It's not just how you play, it's how you relate with the audience. Talk about that.
Yeah, as I was talking earlier about the jazz club, for instance, we've had some great musicians who didn't go down very well. To give you an instance, a couple of people said, why don't you have this wonderful sax player that's in England, and why don't you have him as a guest? And I said, okay, we'll get him one night. And he was a complete disaster. Wonderful musician. And when I came to him doing a feature, I said, announce your own number. He said, I don't speak on microphones. I said, what do you mean? He said, no, I won't go near a microphone. And of course, he didn't communicate with the audience, because he wouldn't speak on the mic and tell them what he's going to do. And it was a wonderful case of good musicianship, but if you don't have any personality, if you don't communicate with the audience, and you want one of the few piano players who really communicates with the audience, we had musicians of various standards over 27 years at Sutton Jazz Club, and they had their favourites, the audience, they all had their favourites. Some of them weren't the greatest musicians you ever liked to hear. But in fact, there's a funny instance. Somebody came up and said one night, oh, did you hear that Sidney Bechet on TV? They played on some programme. And she said, what a cheek, she said. The clarinet player, she must have been listening to the clarinet player that you get at your club. I said, no, it's the other way around. He listens to Sidney Bechet. But they had their favourites, and as I say, some of them weren't the greatest, but they communicated with the audience. I think I would say it's probably 75% of the battle of communicating with the audience, and then the rest is performing. But the audiences either like you or they don't. And I don't think, as I say, you can be the best musician in the world, but if you don't put it across, you're a goner.
Well, and we're supposed to be entertaining. Who's really great at that is Alan Barnes.
Yeah, yeah.
Who's very funny, and I've worked with him. And I know I once turned to him and said, that was so beautiful. And he said, don't act so surprised. And of course, the whole audience fell out. They just thought that was...
Well, of course, being a piano player, it's hard to entertain at the piano because, you sit there and you're using both hands at the keyboard, apart from turning around and smiling, there's not a lot that you can do. But I think in between playing, which I've learned to do, you announce the numbers, give them a little bit of history, have a laugh. In fact, I do a thing at the moment called The History of the Jazz Piano, which goes back to 1899, as you know, when the Maple Leaf Rag was written. And I do the next 50 years of jazz piano, which includes Boogie Woogie and Stride and all that stuff. And it's good because you have a bit of a laugh on the way. You tell a few stories about the different piano players and but I think that's what you've got to do. You've got to try and humour the audience into believing that they're going to enjoy it.
What a way to put it.
Well, yeah.
Well, we're all there to have a good time. We should be.
Yeah.
And I mean, we all want that. You want to feel like you know the person.
Mm.
that's entertaining you too. Yeah, you get a little insight into them.
Yeah.
Well, I think you do that beautifully.
Thank you. Not as well as you, but
thank you. Thank you. Tell you, Neville, how old are you now?
80.
That's what you said. That, this is radio, so I get to describe you. I would not guess you a day over 60.
God.
Seriously. It is really amazing.
Would you like to be my manager?
I would. This is fantastic, Neville. Thank you for taking the time.
Thanks, Julie,
for coming to me on this beautiful sunny day. We need to advertise. We can do for the London Chamber of Commerce. It's beautifully sunny. And flowers are blooming, so it doesn't rain every day here, in Hampstead at least. Thank you, Neville.
Thanks for having me, Judy.
You've been listening to my conversation with stride pianist Neville Dickey. I hope you'll join me here next time when I talk with another celebrated creative person about how jazz has inspired their life and work. I'm Judy Carmichael, the host and producer of Jazz Inspired. My production engineers are J.D. Allen and Curtis Heidoff. Our opening music was Airmail Special, and the mid-break music is a smooth one from my CD, High on Fats and Other Stuff. The closing music is Old Fashioned Love from my CD Trio. I'm on piano with Mike Casham on sax and Chris Flory on guitar. You can download podcasts of Jazz Inspired from all the usual places and follow me on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at Stride Queen. Judy Carmichael's Jazz Inspired is made possible with generous support from our listeners and from Steinway & Sons and from Sag Harbor Florist. Visit sagharborflorist.net. For a schedule of upcoming programs, to sign up for our email newsletter, or to find out how you can personally support Jazz Inspired, visit our website at jazzinspired.com. And special thanks to Henry and Gilda Block, to the Ken Colger Foundation, John and Jill Walsh, and to Steinway & Sons for their continuing support of Jazz Inspired. For more information, visit jazzinspired.com or judycarmichael.com. Stride piano refers to the way jazz pianists played in the early years of jazz, the 1920s and the 30s, where the left hand alternates between low bass notes on the first and third beat of the measure with chords on the second and fourth beat. This style influenced those who followed as jazz piano evolved in different directions. George Shearing is associated with the distinctive sound he developed later, but in his younger years, he was a full-on stride pianist, as you'll hear in his rendition of How Come You Do Me Like You Do.